Previously, on Both Sides of the Bed.
Are you a dom? Are you a sub? Or are you a switch? Let's talk about submission first. I think submission gets such a bad rep because when people hear submissive, they automatically take on a negative connotation as weak or less than.
I think it's all about allowing yourself to be led and to release control, to just be present and just like fully trusting. In the world of BDSM, this is where, you know, that DS dynamic kind of stems from. But though it is kind of sourced and originates from there, that's not the only part of it. The kink parts of it are just a small part of what it means to have a dynamic. And having a real flourishing DS dynamic goes so much deeper than sex and kink. It goes so much into who we are as people, what we need from our relationships, and how we can be better functioning. And I think my favorite part about it is just the self-discovery aspect. And also, once you discover it, that self-understanding of really knowing, this is what I need in order to be a positive light in this relationship. This is what I need in order to function better as a person.
So now let's get into dominance. Because dominance, on the flip side, gets all the praise, gets all the celebration, but also gets a lot of scrutiny and a lot of misperceptions about what it means to be dominant, what it means to be a dom, because, you know, so many people flock to, especially men, they flock to wanting to embrace that because dominance are showcased, you know, in our world as being the strong ones, as being the powerful ones, as being the ones that you want to aspire to. So especially as a man, I know we're not taught to look up to that, to look up to submission in any way. So we focus heavily on the dominance when in reality, everybody ain't built for this domination. Everybody is not built to be dominant. That's not your personality type. And we'll go over the different styles of dominance because dominance does not look like one thing. Everybody has that 50 shades of gray. Even him, he wasn't the most aggressive.
He was a sadist, but he was
very relaxed. But I think a lot of people have that super aggressive asshole dominant who's just a dictator and is just damn near a bully in a sense.
Yeah.
And is never fucking smiling, always angry, always just mean and cold-hearted. And a lot of times we have that in our minds. I know I did personally. So there's a lot of misperceptions around dominance, but I think dominance is crucial. It's so important. The dominant people of this world are the ones who help keep the world going, or the ones who help lead, you know, the minds of those who are not the most dominant. Those who are in power to help dictate what goes on in our world are dominant people, because you have to be in that powerful role. You have to sit on that throne, that heavy, heavy throne. And that heavy crown that you have to wear, and we're like, yeah, it's all fun and games. It sounds nice. There's a lot of rewards. There's a lot of benefit, spiritually, but also, you know, ego driven. But there's a lot that comes with being the captain of the ship.
Yeah,
for sure. So when it comes to dominance, first, I will say what appealed to me about it was it was something I guess always felt deep inside as a kid, but I didn't realize in any capacity that it was dominance trying to express itself. Because I was a child, I didn't know. You know, like I'm talking about, like, you know, as early as my memory is being in like middle school, and because I was always rebellious against authority, like from a young age, not outwardly where I'm like fuck you cops or fuck you teacher. It wasn't that where I'm gonna vocalize the fact that I don't fuck with you like that, but I just won't fuck with you like that. Like, oh, okay, you're telling me to do that. If it don't make sense to me, I'm just not gonna do it ever. And I'm gonna do what I wanna do. Respectfully or not respectfully, but I'm gonna do what I wanted to do. So I was always rebelling. I never liked being told what to do unless it made perfect sense for me. So when it came to that, I understand that was like the subtle starts of my dominance. But always just going against the grain, always doing what it was that I wanted to do, always observing what other people were doing, but making my own decisions at the end of the day and not following in that way. But I did follow a lot of times growing up, I followed my crowd. because I wanted to fit in. So I wasn't able to activate on my dominance because I just wanted to fit in. I didn't want to ruffle feathers. I wanted people to like me. So I just wanted to do shit that, you know, everybody thought was cool. And so I can just be, you know, blend in here and you know, not have to deal with any scrutiny, whether that was my true self or not. But because I got so used to doing that, like all through middle school, all through high school, even the first few years out of high school, I had no connection to my dominant energy directly. I couldn't put my finger on it. I couldn't activate on it. I couldn't express myself in that way with partners or my friends or anybody because I wasn't able to tap into it because I was so used to just kind of following the crowd.
Yeah.
But it wasn't until, I got into the world of kink that showed me through a fun avenue of sexual expression what dominance is all about. So it wasn't until, I got into my mid-20s where I started going to play parties, where I started seeing doms, where it was like, oh, this is a thing. I can put a title to it. I can physically see it in other people. And now I can explore and do my research and learn what it meant to be a dom. But the only doms I was exposed to when out in the scene were the more domineering ones, were the ones who just didn't like they fucking have any fun. They just look dead ass serious all the time, or they just bossing their submissive around, or they're just real cold and quiet and strict and stern. And that didn't necessarily resonate with me, but that's the only representation of dominance that I saw.
Yeah.
So I was like, oh, this is how you do it. And so when I got into it, just when it came to a sexual sense, like creating scenes and playing in that way and bringing floggers and paddles and spankings and choking and, you know, all the kink related stuff, I was still doing it through that lens of, oh, I got to be like that, and struggling because that's not my personality. I be chilling. I like to have fun. I like to smile. I'm cool, relaxed. Like, I'm genuinely a nice person. Mm-hmm. I'm not a pushover, but I'm a nice person. I don't like to boss people around. I don't like people bossing me around. I don't like when it comes to us. One thing you will not ever say about me is I'm strict.
Yeah.
Because I don't think necessarily being strict is what's necessary to achieve your goals. Sometimes it is. Being disciplined absolutely is. But being strict just for the sake of bossing you around and being strict, that doesn't resonate with me. So I struggled for a long time when it came to developing my dominant style for us, because I still only had those few reference points. But it wasn't until like I really dove into the research that I realized there's so many ways of doing it. There's no dom look. There's no specific way to do that. The key areas of being a good dom is being a good leader, is being a good protector, is being a good provider of what your submissive needs, and also what your submissive wants when they have earned it. Being strong and confident and courageous and being able to continue to show up every day requires a lot. You can't take a day off. People are relying on you. You can't take a day off. So it requires a lot of power. Like where submissive can maybe have some space where, hey, I'm not feeling at my best, I'm gonna lean on you right now, there isn't really a true place for that with a dominant. Not really. Like when it comes down to it, not really. You know, I can lean on you and I can have support on days when it's tougher for me, but overall, I gotta keep it together. Like if I was a whole ass mess,
we'd crumble.
We would be a whole quickly. Mess. It would all come crumbling down. So that's the flip side. That's why I say it's a heavy crown, where it seems fun and cute and all that. Yeah, I get to boss you around, tell you what to do, smack your ass and all that. Yeah, that's nice. You can do all of those things, but there's a lot of responsibility when it comes to being a dominant.
Yeah.
And the most important part of it is the mental side, making sure that I'm growing. At least for me, I can't speak for other people. Other people have different goals, but for me, I want personal growth. That's the most appealing thing to me about being a dom and dominance, is I know this is going to help me grow as an individual. It's going to help me increase my confidence. It's going to help me increase my self-worth. It's just going to overall help me be able to be a better person through my leadership in our relationship.
Yeah, no, I definitely understand where you're coming from with that. And in my life and in my family dynamic prior to you, I had to be that. I had to make sure certain things were done because they wouldn't get done. And if they didn't get done and I didn't assure they would get done, then just stuff would crumble. Especially like when my mom got sick, it's like she couldn't do that anymore. And nobody was stepping up, and I was the youngest, and I had to figure that out. So I had to be in that role for years of just like, and young, very young. I'm talking like 18, 19. And just try to figure that out because nobody else could, just for the sake of grief. And being in that space of like, oh, like people are not capable right now, so if I don't make sure this gets done, then like lights aren't getting paid, like rent isn't getting paid, evictions are happening, and having to deal with that was a lot. So going from that to trying to just completely take off that hat and be completely submissive was a lot for me. Cause it's like, I know what it's like to just completely trust and for not only them not to rise to the occasion, which is okay, but to not articulate that, which is not okay. Mm-hmm. And then just shit is hitting the fan left and right. Or I'm thinking it's one thing and it's the complete opposite and worse. I ran into that situation too many times to let go so easily.
Yeah. It's so interesting. We have such different upbringings in the sense that, yeah, at an early age, you had to rise in that way and take care of things where maybe other people just weren't taking care of things.
Yeah.
Where it wasn't truly your responsibility, but you had to do it, yeah, or it wasn't going to get done. You know what I mean?
And I also want to emphasize, like, it wasn't my parents. Like, at the time, my mom was sick, so there wasn't an assigned person to take care of it, you know, because it was just, like, me and my siblings, and we're, like, kind of in the same age group. I just don't want it to come off like my family just, like, dropped the ball on me and, like, we were struggling. It was just, like, we were all in the same boat, and somebody had to do it, so I was the one that did.
Yeah, none of y'all should have been required to take on such a level of responsibility so early. So, yeah, you had to wear that hat, and so you had to harden up, you know, to take care of life, especially being a woman, especially being an extremely attractive woman where, you know, that could kind of convolute things a bit, you know, having to take on all of that. That was very different than my experience. I was sheltered in a sense, you know, my parents didn't mean to, but they did shelter me. Like, I never had tough times. And I think as a man, you need to go through those kind of things, whether it's just based on your circumstances or your parents specifically teaching you lessons, like maybe taking things away from you or maybe not giving you things so easily.
Yeah.
That is needed. That is needed. At least for a man, I can say that is needed if you want to, you know, move in that traditional male role at some point in your life. So I didn't have that. I shit was always available for me. I always had my needs taken care of. So I never had to go get it. I damn sure never had to lead anybody else. I didn't have younger siblings. I never had pets. So I didn't know how to do the leading thing.
Yeah.
So it wasn't until you where I had to do the leading thing.
Yeah.
Because Jazz was so young during that time. Like, yes, I'm leading him. He's a child though. There's only but so much that he's going to do.
Yeah.
But like, I never had to lead a whole ass adult before. You know, but so through going through this, it really taught me what it takes to do this.
Yeah. And even like in my earlier childhood, when I had my parents, they spoiled me. And that's where like my inner princess comes from. My mom literally called me princess. Like I was spoiled and I had absolutely everything. I wanted for nothing. Any new gadget, new thing, like I had it before I even knew that it existed. So that's how like also... Like in the same, like on the other side of the token, it was easy for me to be like, oh yeah, I can step into that role because I already knew what that was to just be taken care of and catered to. And my mom kind of raised me to be like, you know, like your man is supposed to open doors for you and take care of you and provide for you. And that's what my father did. Mm-hmm. So, I knew that's why it would be easy for me to transition into that. But right. I just had to shake some things off.
Right.
Yeah.
But I will say the benefits, at least for me, in being a dominant is personal growth. Like completely outside of you, you are a very strong secondary benefit of me embodying my dominance. Mm. But by far the most gratifying thing is me showing up in my highest power. Mm. Me being able to have the confidence to walk these shoes and to speak up for myself, have a strong voice. Because I gotta have a strong voice if I'm gonna lead others.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you really gotta, you know, walk with your chest out. You gotta be brave enough to go against the grain and do things that other people are not willing to do. You gotta be resilient and be able to withstand the challenges of life or whatever the case is. You gotta be strong. There's no room. I can't show you any real weakness. I can't crumble. I can have moments where I'm not at my best. That's allowed. But I can't, there's no room to crumble. You will lose respect for me if I crumble. If I actually crumble and I just be crumbled, you're gonna lose respect for me. You know, so I love that it has helped me grow so much in those ways. But then also, you know, when it's sexually, like I really enjoy the benefits there.
Same.
Like especially like when you respond to how dominant I can get there, because it's now compressed. Like, it's one thing, because we're in a 24/7 dynamic, so that's just life. It's just all day, every day. We just live here. Mm-hmm. So that's one way of going about it. But then when you compress it into just this scene for the next hour, hour and a half with the things that we're doing, like, what comes out of me is shocking sometimes. It's like, oh, wow, I really had that in there. So those are the things that I really enjoy. But personal growth, it really shows you what you're capable of, who you can be, what you're made of.
Yeah. No, I love all that you say about that.
So let's get into some
more of the archetypes.
Yeah, the archetypes. Because again, I want to completely destroy whatever idea of what you had about what it means to be a dom, what it means to be a dominant. I don't even like the word dom anymore. I feel like it's been overly abused. A lot of people out here, especially men, just out here claiming being a dom and don't know shit about it. Don't know how to respect others. They think being a dom is being an asshole, to disregard others. I think a dominant is being able to completely respect others. And because you're so embodying your full energy, others respect you. It's not about, I'm not trying to be above anybody else. I'm trying to show up in my fullest self and just shine in that. And that's it. You can't be insecure and want to be a dom. Now you out here trying to do some ego shit then. Mm-hmm. If you out here trying to have this facade, this mask of confidence and power and strength, but internally you're a little bitch. And it's easy to see. It's actually very easy to see.
Yeah.
It's very easy to see, because I think you can learn submission. I don't think you can learn how to be a dom. I think you either have it or you don't. But I think you can learn how to tap into submission, but definitely not dominance. That's too heavy.
No, I understand that. I can feel that.
Yeah.
So let's get into them.
So when it comes to doms, number one, I started with the asshole, because I think that's one of the main versions of it that people resonate with, or, you know, think about when they think about doms. So they usually threat with physical violence to assert their dominance, or a lot of aggressive talk. Mm-hmm. They are the ones that's more serious. They are very strict and cold and can be selfish within that. It's very much about them, and you just got to deal with whatever you need to deal with to operate in their world. And I don't say this even in a negative way. I think whatever people's realities and what their truths are, that's cool for you. If that works for you and that works for your submissive and y'all like that, it makes you feel good, do that. Absolutely. That's a stronger one, though. That's a much more intense one. Definitely not my style, but that's all I saw for the first few representations of what a dom was. And I was trying to... I'm not an asshole, so I wasn't going to be an asshole, but I was trying to be, I guess, colder or meaner. Do you remember times where, like, I would try some version of that?
Yeah.
And it just ain't work. You didn't feel good to you.
I was just like, this is not what I signed up for. Because it's also like, this is also the only, not the only, but this is also one of the main forms of dominance that I knew. But I also knew that that wasn't you. And that's why I was so willing So when you did get to go there, I was just like, I had a lot of questions.
Yeah, so definitely embrace your style, whatever it is. Just embrace your style. It's okay to be different. Mm-hmm. The next one is the drill sergeant. So can have similar energy as the asshole, but they assess their dominance through formal authority and control. Mm-hmm. So they might not necessarily be an asshole, but they're very much about control and strict protocols and things that you want. They want things a very specific way. And if you deviate from that way, it's a problem for them. They need to maintain control in everything. So those type of doms, I respect them because it takes a lot of energy.
My dad was like that.
To control everything and every aspect of what somebody else is doing, it takes a lot of energy. So if you out here trying to do that, like you want to have that kind of power over your submissive, but you're tired as hell at the end of the day and it doesn't feel good, then either you need to adjust how you're doing it, or maybe that's not the style for you. For me, that's not the style for me. I want overall control to make sure the ship is going in the direction that we want. But like I say to you, I don't want you in a cage.
Yeah.
I want you in a backyard so that you have room to roam and be free and play with the toys and the grass and pee where you want and all of that. But you're in the confines of my backyard.
Yeah.
So you can't venture out these walls beyond this fence. So I've set my parameters, but as long as you stay within the parameters, it's cool. Do your thing.
Yeah.
But you're still in my backyard.
No, I understand that. The drill sergeant, my dad was like that with his children.
He was like that with y'all?
Yeah.
Like that? That strict?
Yeah, wow. He's very strict. He came off very cold. I personally didn't see it. Like, all my friends were terrified of this. He would just, like, walk down the hallway and they just, like, cower in fear. And He was just very strict. Like, he was very strict about, like, how we cleaned. If it wasn't cleaned properly, it's just like, okay. His thing was the trash bag. Like, if it wasn't in its place, it goes in the trash bag. And if it goes in the trash bag, it goes outside. Mm. What happens when it goes outside? The trash man picks it up, and it's gone forever. So we were very he was very particular about cleanliness and, like, keeping things in order, keeping us in order, keeping time.
Mm. Did you resonate with that? Or was it like, ugh, dad, oh, he's being like this?
I mean, when I was a kid, I just wanted to play. So it was just like, no, I don't want to clean. Or, no, not my favorite doll. Don't throw that away. But, like, now in my life, I'm very much like that when it comes to cleaning.
Yeah, it's I was going to say.
Yeah,
I'm like they're rubbed off on you.
Very much like that. Like, this goes here at this angle. And if not, you might as well just slap me in my face. Like, that's how I feel.
But see, like, it's kind of segueing a little fast forward. That appeals to me. I like the fact that your father showed up in his fullest self, in his dominance, and led his family and instilled certain things in y'all to where now, as a grown woman, you implement those. They become a part of who you are.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. I like the idea of the things that I instill in you will carry on for the remainder of our life, that will carry on to our kids and kids' kids. Because of what we've created here. That makes me feel really good.
Yeah.
So I like that.
And also just, like, his intensity. Like, my sister and I, like, we would hear him coming down the stairs. And every time he just saw us or just witnessed us in some room in the house, we would be told something to do. Like, why is this pen on the floor? It would be something. So we would just hide. In, like, stupid places that it's like, you're obviously hiding behind the curtain. Like, what are you doing? But we would always do it. And I didn't even realize we did it until my older sister, who didn't, like, live with us at the time, mentioned it. She's like, y'all just run like roaches when the lights turn on.
Mm.
But no, definitely. Those things are definitely instilled in us.
Mm-hmm. So next we got the smart ass. So the smart ass is the holy one. They rely on knowledge and elitism to dominate others. So I liken the smart ass is to one who feels, yeah, they're holier than thou. They are on this pedestal. They're untouchable in a sense. They kind of move with that energy, and that they know everything. And I think that can be to your detriment if you think you know it all. If you think you know a lot and you know, that's kind of just a style, you know, you confident about that, that's cool. But I just caution them to allow space for growth. Because I think they can run into the challenge of not growing anymore because they think they've already reached the promised land. But they are definitely the ones who are, that live heavily in that and that feel like the elites of the world. And then next we have Masters of the Universe. So they combine aggression with wealth and intelligence to dominate. Mm. So these type of doms, they lean heavily on their financial means, their resources, maybe their status in their careers, what they've accomplished, their influence over others as a whole. They lean heavily on that in order to influence what happens in their relationships with their submissives. So I think if you have a really good grasp in these areas of your finances and your intelligence, and you're just good in that. I mean, when you have a grasp of those things, you're naturally going to ooze uber confidence as long as it's in a controlled place. But you got to be careful with that because you can lean so much into that that you get lost in it. It's almost like being very attractive. When you're very attractive, you don't have to try as hard as someone who may not be quite as attractive because people give it to you so easily because of that power you have from that. So it makes you lazy. It can make you lazy in your relationships as a whole. It can make you lazy in the bedroom. So I just urge those with the Masters of the Universe personality to just be aware of that and always continue to grow, always continue to try to be better and not lean on those things.
Yeah. The one thing I want to say about that is I feel like if you're in that zone, you have to be incredibly humble and giving.
Right.
Because it's so easy to... Like, and we'll probably get that in the next episode, like topping from the bottom, where somebody is topping you from the bottom to get your resources. And if you're, and it can happen because I think being a master of the universe, like it even says here, just being cocky.
Yeah.
And then people just want to use you because you're being an asshole. You're being just like this cocky little thing that thinks you can do absolutely anything because you have money.
Right.
So people would, what's that word? Not expose, but abuse that.
Exploit?
Yeah, exploit that.
Yeah.
And so you have to be humble. You have to be kind and you have to be giving with it and not manipulative with it.
And real quick, since you said topping from the bottom, I think, you know, it's fine to reference it. Topping from the bottom in a more sexual sense means that the submissive is trying to dominate from the bottom. So they're trying to still maintain the idea of being a submissive and have their... being their submissive headspace, I mean, not their submissive headspace, but being like to have a submissive mask on, but be actually trying to dominate the situation. So trying to tell the dominant how to do things, how to run the show, but they still have on their nice, calm, kind, submissive voice or choice of words in that. And that can be a huge issue. It's like, no, we have our roles. This is who you are. This is who I am. And you got to stay in your lane.
Yeah.
But some submissives who really should be switches, who maybe what's trying to emerge is some dominant energy that they have in there, but because you've agreed to be a submissive, that's your role right now. So unless you've changed your agreement to now be a switch, you should stay in your lane.
Yeah. And it doesn't just happen sexually. It can happen in the relationship where, you know, somebody is wanting to dominate, but you're just like sidestepping them and trying to control how something is playing out and that goes, I think, into that lack of trust.
Yeah.
If you don't trust that they're really going to dominate properly. So you are going to take control, but mask it as submission in some way.
100% comes back to the trust.
Yeah.
100%. So next we have Rising Star. So this is definitely one I resonate with. When I'm most tapped in, especially when I was first learning about this, I definitely resonated with this. They use their ambition to fuel their power to establish dominance. So naturally, I'm a very ambitious person. When I decide I want to do something, I go for it 1,000%, and I don't want to do it unless I'm going to do it great. I want to do it at my best. I want to see it through. I want to be able to experience all the facets of the thing. So when deciding like, yeah, I want to be a dom, I like this shit, this makes sense for me, I got heavy in my research and I started implementing things, whether it was sexually or non-sexually, but especially the sexual things and getting all the new toys and, you know, I'm beating asses, I'm choking necks, I'm like I'm feeling, it's not like a forced thing. Like I'm feeling it coming out of me naturally. I'm not trying, I'm allowing.
Yeah.
Instead of trying, I'm allowing. When that was happening, it was like, oh yeah, okay, I'm on the rise, I got this. And it feels really good and it really helps boost your confidence. So I think when you're in that space of your dominance, that's an excellent energy to be in. That's a very enjoyable time for you and your submissive, because it's very pure and it's full of exciting energy because it's so new and you're trying these things out and you're discovering things for the first time. And it's a very beautiful space to be in.
Yeah.
Anything to add? Okay.
No, I think that it's I think that it's beautiful to have that ambition. And I love that is your type of dominance, because you pull that out in me as well. Of just like knowing what my ambitions are and pushing me to go there. So it's such a benefit for me. And also seeing you, especially like when you're on a roll, it is just impeccable. And it's just amazing to witness, and to just see how much power and control you have of your life and deciding, okay, I want this, and then this happens. I've never seen you desire something and not get it. And not to say like, you know, you always get what you want, but it's more so your ambition for it is so strong that it forces it to just align. And it's beautiful to witness and to be a part of.
Yeah, rising star is cool. Then we have the cold-hearted. So they dominate through emotional detachment and social pressure. So I feel like the cold-hearted is
cold.
It's very cold. I feel like the cold-hearted is kind of limited to wherever they come into the relationship at. It's hard for them to grow because they're so closed off to the communication coming from their submissive. So it's hard for them to tap into their submissive's emotions because they don't give a fuck, really. Mm-hmm. They're really self-centered and focused on what their agendas are, what their motivations are, what their desires are. They're not, you know how when I said it's the submissive's needs, the dom's needs, then the dom's wants and the submissive's needs, submissive's wants. They never get around to the submissive's wants like that because they don't care enough to see it through the whole cycle. Oh, you good? You taken care of? You're not going to die? All right, cool. Now give me what I want. And kind of leave it at that a lot of times. You know, now, unless this is something you've agreed upon with your submissive and they get off on you using them in that way, because as long as it's consensual, consent is one of the sexiest, most powerful words in the dictionary.
Yeah.
If consent is given for you to act in that way, then this is a very different conversation. It's beautiful. It's powerful. It's dark. It's deep. And it can be very connecting for people in a very special, unique way that most people will not be able to wrap their minds around. They cannot understand like why somebody would want to be treated like that by someone cold-hearted. But that taps into degradation, you know, and we'll get into that on the second part of this conversation, more of the kink of it. But I see where there is still space for a cold-hearted dom to make sense. So next we have the made man. So they are ultimate power archetypes, combining experience, resources, and authority. So I feel like right now I am tapping into my made man season, in a sense that I was a rising star when things was brand new, but now I've learned quite a lot. Like I have a very solid grasp of this, and things in my life as a whole are now trending upward in a way where now I'm making a conscious decision to trend our relationship. And because dominance and submission is so important to us, I'm making a very concerted effort to lock in on this. So I am completely calling upon all my experience, all the resources that I have, and really commanding my authority. And it goes back to being brave enough and strong enough and confident enough to command that, and recognizing I do have authority, I do have a voice here, and commanding that shit for this season, because we have a lot of shit ahead of us. There's a lot of things that we want to accomplish for ourselves. There's a lot of things that I know you want to accomplish for yourself that you need support in. So I have to rise and really live in my power. And so that's definitely where I'm at right now.
It's funny, as you were reading this, I was getting turned on. I was like, that sounds pretty hot. but I definitely agree with this is definitely where you're at right now. And in seeing that combination, I think this is the title of Made Man is so perfect here, because having that combination of, like, I think when it's just resources and what is that? That was the Master of Universe. It sounds cute, but I can't see longevity in that. But when you have that as a part of it, and using authority and using experience, which I think is really important, it really cultivates the ultimate experience for just transcending wherever you are and getting to where you need to be. And I think this is also a great synopsis of, like, how much control you have just in our lives. Like, if you're not up to it, we're not recording. If you're not up to it, we're not going out. If you're not up to it, you're not making as much money. It's just like the way you are completely dictates how our life is unfolding. And I think that you really woke up to that within the last year or so of, oh, like, I don't have the luxury to not. And again, that is a very large weight to have on you. But I've seen you realize that and act accordingly, and because of that, so just things are just aligning so beautifully for us. And yeah, I'm just really grateful to bear witness to it, one, but also benefit from it, which is also why, like, when it comes to just my own stuff and things that I'm wanting for myself, I'm comfortably able to take a step back from it to focus on things that we need and that you need, because I know that in doing that, the stuff that I need will just skyrocket when it's time.
Exactly. And I feel like if both the dominant and the submissive's focuses are on each other's needs, then we can just get that taken care of, so then we can focus then on each other's wants.
Yeah.
So if you're wholeheartedly focusing on making sure my needs are being taken care of as being a good sub, and me making sure that all your needs are taken care of as being a good dom, we'll be so much further along.
Yeah.
If we're not worrying about ourselves. But again, that goes back to the trust. Me trusting that you are an amazing submissive and you're going to be an amazing submissive moving forward, and vice versa. So you have to have that trust. You have to have that confidence in your partner in order to be able to do this on any level.
Yeah, 1,000%. And I think that we finally got to that mindset.
Yeah.
Where it's just like, oh, okay, it's time.
Yeah.
It's time to take it to the next level. It's time to move forward. And there's no more pretending. There's no more questioning. It's just like, we already know what time it is. We did the work. We asked the many, many questions. We had the many, many conversations. And we're here now. And it's just a matter of just acting on it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So now down to my last and final two. Number one, the daddy dom. That is by far my favorite personality type for the dominant, the one I resonate with most. And once I learned about this style of dominance, I was able to finally, like, roll my sleeves up and, like, start figuring it out where I wanted to take it. You know, so from very early on, like, you would call me daddy. Like, that was just a rule. I don't even know if you've ever really called me Amir ever. But it just did not
only
ever
in my fantasies.
Maybe in your fantasies, but not in this fantasy. But it didn't resonate with me. I didn't want that from you. I wanted something that made me feel good, and I wanted something that represented how we feel for each other. And so in our relationship is more daddy dom little girl, in the sense that it's very nurturing. The relationship is very nurturing. So the definition I have is the enjoying the feeling of taking care of their submissive in a similar way that a father or mother takes care of their child.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, it's very much like that. A lot of times I can't help but feel like you're my child in a similar way as my actual child. And number one, fully recognizing you're a complete adult. I'm not treating you like a child. It's not that, but it's certain ways that you care for your child is different than the way that you care for an adult. It's even more attentive. It's even more patient. It's even more understanding. It's you're pouring even more love into it because children need it on a higher level a lot of times than adults do. And how on it I need to be in order to be able to guide us and to be able to understand where you are when you're in your more childlike, submissive self, yeah. what's required. So I really enjoy that. It makes me feel needed, makes me feel purposeful, makes me feel love. Because, like, you know, just how I am, like, when it comes to little girls in the world, like, how they have a special place in my heart, and how I just, I'd be a random girl, little girl I see at the park running around in the playground. She, you know, interacts with me for a hot second. Like, in that moment, like, I want to be her protector. Like, as yeah. long as her parents don't even know. But when we at this park, if shit went down right now, I will fucking kill for this little girl. Like, that's yeah. how I am just in the girls that I interact with in the world. So, like, it's like the same kind of thing. I adapt to our relationship as being two full-fledged adults. But I really love that it's such a good balance for us, and you being able to tap into that side of yourself and me being able to tap into this side of myself, because I love protecting you. I love nurturing you. I love being able to be kind, yeah. still strict when I need to, but being able to be loving and kind.
And soft.
And soft. Yeah. yeah.
No, I think it's so powerful. And I love what you said about that protector side. Because I think people hear this and just like start going into like this negative condensation. But really it has to do with protecting and nurturing and helping someone grow. And I've said in the episode before that I feel like when you are with your person, they help. Like, they finish that raising of you. They finish that growth of you. And in being in this type of dynamic, we get to really relish in that and enjoy that. And you help me grow in ways that I wasn't really allowed to at a younger age, because I had to be an adult. I had to rise to this occasion and do these things, even though it didn't feel good, or I wish I didn't have to. So it's really allowed me space to re-enter that and be present with myself in that way, and just kind of just know that I'm protected. Right. No matter what's going on, no matter where you are in the world and where I am, like, I am protected and I'm loved and just nourished to a high level.
Right. Yeah. It helps make me very clear on what my responsibilities are in this relationship. Mm. It helps make it very clear. Like, as a father, I know very clearly what my role and responsibilities, my obligations are. And it's the same thing with this. So it helps really crystallize things for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so the last one I threw in here was the sadist. Now, typically sadism is heavily in the world of kink. Mm-hmm. And in our next episode, we're going to go into the kink version of everything that we discussed here. But the reason why I threw that in there, because for DS dynamics that are more 24/7, that do go beyond the bedroom, I see how sadism and masochism does spill into the world as a whole. Because as humans, we have the power to decide what our reality looks like. I think we just get used to being force-fed other people's ideas of what our lives should look like and what the rules should be and what's acceptable and what's not acceptable and what feels good and what doesn't feel good. For some people, like, specifically, let's just focus on let's say degradation and humiliation. That's an extreme kink for some people.
Yeah.
Extreme kink. Like, why would somebody want to be degraded? Some people just cannot compute why someone would want to be humiliated and degraded or beat. And it feels good to them. It makes them want more. And they like that. But if it doesn't resonate with you and you don't understand it, that's cool. It's just not for you. Yeah. But for those who do resonate with it, it means a lot to them. It holds a lot of meaning. And their experience is no less than an experience, because you can't compute it. It just ain't for you. So the reason why I said sadism is because it made me think about how, like, a sadist, a true sadist is not going to sadist when it comes to a sex scene and not sadist in any way in their real life. Mm-hmm. Somehow it's going to translate.
Yeah.
Somehow maybe it's they enjoy watching a scene of an accident on the side of the road. Like, they want to see how fucked up somebody got, or how their car is. Like, maybe it is. Or maybe they see an animal on the side of the road all hurt, and just something about it makes, I don't know, they like to see that happen, you know? So I think instead of running from this, because it's a darker, more intense energy, I think it's important for us to recognize, as people, like, sometimes we like dark shit. In life, it's not just bedroom. Sometimes we like darker shit. Some people like fucking horror movies. Some people like rom-coms. Everybody likes different things. But for those who like the horror shit and likes darker shit, honor that within yourself and figure out how you can have a safe, healthy space to explore that where you're not interfering with other people's experiences. Mm-hmm. Because it's detrimental for you to close that part of yourself off if that's just who you are. You know, you need to be able to express that, because if not, then you turn into the serial killer in your future because you didn't have any place to express that. Then you turn into the rapist. Then you turn into the fucking kidnapper when you don't have a place to express that. So I wanted to throw that in there for that reason.
No, and I think it's definitely necessary because there are so many outlets to explore that type of space in a safe and consensual way. And there are so many dark parts of our minds that sometimes we're too afraid of to fully explore. I think I'm like in my dark era right now where I'm just exploring, you know, my little sadist ways. And it's been fun to, one, navigate it, but also to realize that it's there, like, fully. And it's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're such eclectic beings. And I think that putting ourselves in this box of, well, this is good and this is bad, so we have to stay away from the bad. Sometimes the bad is good, especially if you're doing it in a healthy way.
Exactly.
So just understand that. And as you're seeking out these types of experiences, do your research, know what you're getting into, know what is your limits, and explore them.
Exactly. Consent is sexy.
Consent is sexy.
So now let's move on to a very interesting position to be at in your relationship. If you are a switch, So we talked about being a submissive, we talked about being a dominant, and now let's talk about being a switch where you resonate with both sides. So something about what we discussed on each side of the fence resonates with you.
Fully.
Yes. You're the type of person who maybe in the mornings when you start your day, you like to be in your dominant headspace. You want to get shit done. You got things to do. It helps you function in the world. But after 5 p.m., 6 p.m.
That is me.
Yeah, you want to come home and be with your partner. And you want to turn all of that off and be somebody else.
Yeah.
Even if you're interacting with them during the day, like we work together. So maybe, for example, let's say in the day, I'm in a space in my life right now where I can't run the show. I got work to do, but I need you to help me manage my day. I need you to help me manage all of that shit. And then at night, I'll be more dominant with you in the bed, but I need you to handle all of that. We might be in the season of that right now in our lives where you're running the show during the day, but maybe 6 months from now, a year from now, it might switch back to another part where I want to handle that now. I can do that, or I want to. And then we switch roles in that way. I really like the power of a switch because they just have the best of both worlds, and it's so creative and it's so free. You're not limited to either version.
Yeah. And the definition I have for this is switches have the versatility to switch roles based on the preferences, desires, or the specific dynamic they have established with their partner or partners during a particular encounter. They may alternate between being dominant or the top and a submissive or bottom, depending on their mood, their partner's desires, or negotiated within their agreements. I think in life, I'm a switch. Like, I think what you explained was very much me. Like, in the morning, I just want to dominate life. I want to get absolutely everything done. I'm like a drill sergeant with time. And it's just like, okay, these three things need to be done before, like, 4 p.m. Because all of a sudden, my sub just starts knocking at the door. Like, okay, let's put that hat down. And it's time to just kind of relax and release. And with you, I am completely submissive. But, like, in our day-to-day life, when things need to get done, like, my dominant side starts to rear its head.
Yeah, it's like I don't feel your switchiness, but I see your switchiness. Because when we're together, you're not going to show me any dominant side, so I can't experience that side of you directly as it relates to us, but I see how your dominant energy tries to come through. And that's why, you know, we've had our challenges where I think it's tried to come through with me and it's just not able to happen here.
Yeah.
So that's when we clash, because you're not trying to be dominant in that moment, but you're exuding dominant energy in that moment. And because we've already established what our dynamic is and that the basis of how we are supposed to move, that completely contradicts what we've agreed upon and what we're going to do.
Yeah.
So I think it is very, very important to recognize if you have a switch personality, it's a beautiful thing, but it's a lot more tricky because you can't just
switch at any time with any
partner. You got to know how your switchy flow works for you, when you want it to happen, when you need it to happen. And you need to be able to communicate and have conversations with your partner about what that looks like. So y'all can figure out number one, if there's a space for your switchiness in your relationship, number one.
Yeah.
Because if someone's a dominant and their partner's a switch, but that partner wants to be dominant and at a time where the dom does not want that or ever wants that, then all right, now you have to have a conversation about, okay, how are you going to be able to express that? Where avenue are you going to be able to express that? Because if someone's a true switch, you cannot suppress that forever. Mm-mm. At some point, it's going to want to come up because it's who you are.
Yeah.
So you need to figure out if that works in your relationship, or if not, where can you go that's comfortable for the both of you to where you can express that?
Yeah. When it comes to my switchiness, one, I realize I'm not a switch in the bedroom with anybody. Like, I don't want to say I'm too lazy, but like, it just doesn't appeal to me to dominate a bedroom situation. It just doesn't.
I wish you would a little bit though.
I probably could lean into it, but it's just like my natural instincts are not that. I could definitely go there, but my natural instincts aren't that. Mm-hmm. And my mind goes more into like day-to-day life, like managing life stuff and like making sure things get done and on time and efficiently. That's where my dominance shines. And it's just like, I can handle all of it with ease, seamlessly. There won't be a crack in anything. And if I'm given that fully, it works. But in the bedroom and stuff like that, it doesn't work for me. And what you were saying also highlights what I was saying in the beginning of the episode of how I think a switch would be most beneficial with another switch. Mm-hmm. Because then you're able to just switch with each other. Mm-hmm. But if I'm a switch and you're just a dominant and I want to dominate, and especially if like it's a monogamous type of situation, it's like there's no room for that. And there's no room for that expression. But if you're both switches and it's like, okay, let's negotiate. You're going to be dominant here and I'm going to be dominant there.
Yeah.
And articulating that is just a little easier than if you want to be submissive, but you're with like a complete and utter textbook sub.
Right.
It's like, how does that work?
Right. Yeah, I thought about it and I asked myself the question, like, can I be a submissive or not a submissive, but a switch? Like, is there any possibility for that in my reality? And I got yes to in the bedroom. I think there is a space for that because just with the amount of things I have that I'm responsible for in life, mm-hmm. and in the bedroom, it's just, I always got to be on, and it's just, it is exhausting. So I think being able to just relinquish that to somebody else could be very empowering and refreshing for me. But in life though, nah, like I feel like at all times I need to be in control of the situation. And like respectfully, it has nothing to do with you. It's more so about me. I trust myself better to lead my life than you. Way in like the normal day-to-day, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And when I say it, I don't necessarily mean that I want to lead your life. I mean, I want to lead like a sector of what's happening in our life, like mm-hmm. cleaning, for example. I want to dominate cleaning. I don't want you to have absolutely anything to do with it, because I know that I could do it better, and I know I can do it more effectively, and I know that I can manage it in a way that benefits us both. So like that, for example, is what I would want to dominate. And there's like a few other things, but I think that's the best example that I have for the moment.
Yeah. And I'm open to relinquishing that mm-hmm. to you fully. We've been working on that, for example. And I'm open to figuring out what other spaces that I don't need to dominate in, that I can at least, it can at least be neutral, or even if not, I fully give over the power to you to run the show.
Yeah.
So I think that's also we're in a space we're in, but I am much more open to it these days than ever before.
No, absolutely. Balance is key.
Yeah. But I definitely celebrate and am excited for people who to explore their switchy side, because that's a really cool place to be, to be able to just get all of it, get everything.
Yeah,
get everything. So we've talked a lot about breaking down these archetypes today. There's just so much benefit in identifying who you are. I don't think that it's something that you can ignore once you realize the truth in that you are one of the three. Yeah. You just are one of the three. And the sooner you embrace the reality of that, and the sooner you tap into whatever energy that you are meant to tap into, the sooner you can have more fruitful relationships mm-hmm. with yourself and your partners in your life. So we're going to close things out with some tips that can help you implement this into your life.
Yes. Tips for if you want to start one of these dynamics. One, clearly define and establish roles and expectations. Know what you're getting into. Know what the hard and the soft and the whatever limits are and those boundaries are, so you know how you can act within the relationship. Communicate openly about desires, boundaries, and expectations, and communicate often. Have those check-ins, whether they're weekly, bi-weekly, monthly. Check in with your partner so you know, like, hey, this has been going on. Does that feel good? Maybe it felt good in the beginning and it might have changed later on. So be open about that communication as well. The third one is to establish clear consent and a safe word system. A safe word system is to be able to clearly establish what is happening in a particular experience and to articulate that in the moment. So if you feel like your boundaries are being pushed or something's happening that you just don't feel comfortable with or don't feel safe with, you're able to say the specific word. For us, the word is red. If that is said, then there's no question, there's no, but it wasn't that, it stops. And then we can unpack that, but it just stops immediately so that everybody involved can feel safe and secure. The next one is define those roles and responsibilities and desired activities. So know who has what role. If you're switching, if you're not switching, what does it look like? And how do those roles play out in your day-to-day life? Or if you just want to do in the bedroom, set those roles so those expectations are clear as well. Find and implement rituals and routines that resonate with all involved. So a ritual can be like every morning you bring me tea. Or it could be at night, I kneel at your feet. Whatever those rituals are, they can be anywhere from something as light as one to going deeper. Setting rituals are all about showing a representation to your partner that I love you, I love this dynamic that we have, and I want to express it to you. And in doing these rituals, it shows respect to the dynamic that we decided to be in.
It's an exercise in your commitment to your process, to your role. So it's an outward expression of what that means to you.
Yeah.
In a reaffirming of what it is. I do this every day to reaffirm and further cement what it is that we're doing.
Yes. And also, I think just to show respect to the dynamic.
Right.
Because there's us and then there's the dynamic. The dynamic is this kind of own entity. And even those days or in those moments where it's like, you know what, I kind of don't feel like it, or like I'm not in the mood, you're respecting the dynamic and you uphold that to almost a vow.
Right.
And to honor that. Another one is to find, Another one is to respect and explore individual limits and boundaries. So we talked about that before, just really understanding what is a hard no and what is a soft no, what can be pushed, what should never be pushed. Knowing those boundaries and articulating them is vital, and having that consent to do whatever you think is necessary. Maintain consistency and accountability. This is a big one. Being consistent, especially if you have those rituals, keeping yourself accountable of, you know what, this is your role. And if you're not stepping into that role, I'm telling you this so that you can rise to the occasion, because I don't want you to crumble.
And a submissive has every right to hold their dominant accountable as a dominant has to hold the submissive accountable. That's the only way both parties can grow. So a truly confident dominant, fully living in their greatness, will absolutely allow the feedback from their submissive to be respected. So submissives definitely feel like you have a voice in this as well, unless you've consensually agreed that that has no place here.
Yeah, 1000%. And the last one is regularly check in to assess needs and make adjustments as necessary. as I said before, sometimes you start out with one thing and it's great, and then later on it is the opposite of great. So assess what's going on, renegotiate, have a contract of, you know, what all this is, have it written down of just, you know, all these starting points, so you know what's going on. You also have a reference point. And when it comes time, maybe you do a 6-month renegotiation, a year renegotiation, have that check-in point so you can look at what you have agreed to. Is this something, maybe I agree to it in January, but in June, this is just not something that I'm capable of doing for my own self or for you or whatever it is. Check in with each other, check in with yourself, and renegotiate as necessary.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So we covered quite a bit today's conversation. I'm really grateful for this myself, just to reaffirm and just refresh on a lot of things, because, you know, it is a lot to take this on. Is a whole new way of going about your relationships. You're not haphazardly just doing them and figuring them out along the way without clearly knowing who you are or who your partner is. But now you're equipped, you know. Mm-hmm. So I feel a lot more equipped in what we're doing as we move forward into our days. So I'm excited to continue. We're going to definitely have a lot more conversations centered around kink and BDSM as it pertains to DS Dynamics, and just more on DS Dynamics as a whole, because it plays such a huge part in our relationship, in our lives, given that, you know, we aspire to be the best 24/7 DS couple that we can possibly be.
1,000%.
So stay tuned for more as we discuss more of these. But as usual, if you found value in today's episode and you rock with us and you love us, please show your support. Please show your love by sharing this conversation with somebody else, by reviewing, by leaving comments, by liking things, by engaging with us so that we can engage with y'all and we can continue bringing this amazing content to you.
Yes, and if you're interested in exploring a DS dynamic, or you want to take your intimate journey to the next level in many other ways, you can do coaching with me at b-intimate.com. Amir and I are also doing coaching together. So if you want some tips and tricks and help to figure out how you can start or flourish in your already DS dynamic, then we are here to support you.
Yes. So follow us everywhere. Check us out everywhere on all your podcast streaming platforms and on YouTube and Instagram at Both Sides of the Bed. Check us out at share@bothsidesofthebed.tv if you want to let us know anything, you want to share anything with us. And until next time, everybody, stay tuned for the sexy.
Stay tuned for the sexy.